The verse at first may not appear to fit the Sunday school lesson, but it will. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. In fact, that'll be the memory verse. Proverbs 20, 11. Don't we have a memory verse? They used to shout at me all the time for memory verse. Oh, well, we'll give them five or six more. What makes a difference? Okay, scratch what I said about the memory verse. However, if you want extra credit, Proverbs 20, verse 11 would be a good verse for you to learn. Just extra credit. All right, looks like you're all there. If you don't mind, let's go ahead and stand, even though we're only reading one verse, if you're able. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings. Rather his work be pure. Verse 2011, and we read that already. So let me ask you a question. Just what does that mean? Just off the top of your head, just look at it again. Even a child is known by his doings. Let's just work on that. What does that mean? Exactly. That your outward actions are going to show what type of heart that you have. Even a child is known by his doing. We might call this a reputation. Okay? You know, folks. The Bible says to grow, yeah. To grow in Christ Jesus, to grow in the Lord. It's not talking about gaining weight,
right.
Obviously.
That's right.
It's talking about maturing. When the Bible speaks about Job, it says that he was a mature man, okay? It says he is a perfect man. He was a perfect man. He was a perfect man. It doesn't mean that he was sinless.
Right.
We know that when God rebuked him, what did God do? He lambasted him for about four or five chapters. So Job, come here. And then God talked for about four or five chapters, and Job doesn't say anything because he has no defense. Because none of us are without sin. So when it talks about perfect, it's talking about the perfect man. Now, a man is still not God. And the perfect man is still not perfect in that he is sinless, but he is mature. He has grown up. And this is what we need, ladies. You know, just like the men, we all need to mature in the Lord. And if you don't, look, the next time somebody tells a lie about you, the instant you find out about it, what is your reaction? It'll demonstrate a lot about your maturity level. You know, we're pretty good at putting on a mask. We can put that mask on, we can come to church, we can behave a certain way. We can do that at work. But man, when issues arise, the reaction that comes demonstrates your maturity level. We had an instance at work this week where somebody refused to ride with one of our drivers, and they took the bus and then close, and then they sent a driver down to pick him up, bring him the rest of the way on in. And than they got with the boss and was talking, complaining about that other driver. By the way, it wasn't me. Complained about. I've been complained about. We all do. Complained about another driver, and they were talking, and I told him, said, look, that person just doesn't want to get up 15 minutes early. Because the route changes. We have to be flexible. Every week it's different. People are added. People drop off. Locations, and we got distances, time and distance to travel. And sure enough, she was swearing at other people and everything else and lying about this guy. And because they had five other witnesses, they knew what was said. It wasn't anything like she said. But it was all couched in a way to make her look better. And when it came down at the very end, she says, Here's her excuse. I don't think I ought to be inconvenienced. Made to get up 15 minutes earlier. Because when we add somebody else, it takes longer to run the route.
That's right.
Hey. And I don't think I ought to be inconvenienced is one of the biggest claims that people have in any situation. I don't want to be inconvenienced. It's all about me. Now, what I do for a living, everybody wants to be picked up first, and they want to be taken home first. I'm sorry. Everybody wants to be picked up last and taken home first. I get it right. Picked up last, less time in the car. Taken home first, less time in the van, in the car. Okay? So here's the situation. I don't want to be inconvenienced. If for some reason pastor changed times here, meeting times, and listen, we've been coming here a year and a half, 2 years. I don't know how long I've been coming. A little over a year. I still get confused about the meeting time because I went to church at 6 o'clock for nearly 20 years on Sunday.
Wow.
And so, because our other churches too. What are you talking about? 30-some years or more. Sunday night was always at 6.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'm looking at the clock and it's 4:30. Well, I probably ought to start getting ready. No, I probably ought to be leaving. And then it hits, or my wife comes out, you know, it's 20 after 4. I said, well, so what? You know, well, we got to leave, you know. If for some reason pastor was to change the time, how many of us would say, well, that's not very convenient? And when we say that, it's not very convenient for who?
Yourself.
It's not very convenient for me. Right. And see, the issue is not if something's inconvenient or not. It is, does it work? Is it better for the church as a whole? You do realize that there's more than one person here, right? And we all have needs, and it's hard pastoring the church. It really is. It's a wonderful life. It's a terrible life. It's you know, it's pastors are schizophrenic, I guess, you know. But the point being is, it's not all about us, and so we need to learn to mature. So that's why I chose this verse today. Even a child is known by his doing. Because we're going to talk about some men today, and they are going to be known by their quality traits or character traits. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 49, and we're going to talk about the brothers of Joseph. Now, we know a lot about Joseph. Joseph's one of those guys that gets preached about a lot because there's a lot of stuff there that we can learn from his life, and he's a good picture of Jesus and just a great guy all the way around. Much can be learned from him. But let's look at Genesis 49 and verse number 3. 49. This is when Jacob is on his deathbed, or so he thinks he's on his deathbed. Turns out he lives a little while, but he's on his deathbed, and what was common in those days is they would give the inheritance to their children from their deathbed while they were still alive. They would also oftentimes give a blessing. And this is what Jacob is doing. In verse 1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. You see, Jacob was a prophet, and he's going to make some prophecies here about these men. They're his sons, okay? These would be the brothers of Joseph. And so we're going to start with, in verse 3, the oldest, Reuben. Verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, the end defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Now, unstable as water, We pour water out. Is it going to keep a nice square form? You pour water out, it's just going to go everywhere. It's going to follow a path of least resistance. You ever tried driving with a cup of coffee in your car? Now, am I the only one here who ever filled up my coffee holder, in my built-in coffee cup holder with my coffee?
Yeah.
Because I'm going down the road and it just spills inside the coffee cup holder. You get about that much coffee in there. What a mess to try to clean up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And I usually got a couple of pennies or nickels and maybe some quarters in there too. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a mess. Because water is unstable. You just jiggle it. If water was on that stand, it would go all over the place like that. This man was known as being unstable. Now, what do you think that means about his character, if he's unstable? Ideas? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that. You're right. Easily influenced. What else? Exactly. He's unstable. Just because he says something doesn't mean he's going to do it. Okay. Also, that would make him unpredictable, wouldn't it? Okay. Yeah, I'll be there. We're going to have church at 6. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Count on me. But you can't count on him. Because you don't know if he's going to show up or not. Or like Brother Kelly. He helped. God bless him. What a help he's been. And Brother Fred and Gary and guys who helped me move. Well, Brother Kelly had to come back a second time. We moved the bookcase. And it was heavy. It takes two guys, a boy, and a dog, and a crane to lift that thing. It's heavy. Okay? And I got word he'd be there at 9 o'clock. I haven't talked to him, so I sent a text over, you know, what time are you going to be there? Or something like that. Are you going to be there at 9 or whatever? And I pull in the driveway right at 9, because I'm on time. Right on 9, and there's Brother Kelly sitting there waiting, right at 9. Got there early. Dependable. Now, if that was Reuben, I wouldn't be so sure on him showing up. It wouldn't be about what time it would be. Are you going to be there now, right? Yeah, oh, yeah, I'll be there. You said you're going to be there. Are you going to be there, Reuben? Well, yeah, I told you I'd be there. I know you told me, but are you going to be there? Because he's unpredictable. He's unstable. Now, how many of you would like to have that be known as your major character quality, that you are unstable? Not at all. Not at all. It's going to make it hard to raise children, that's for sure. Because they're going to pick up on your little change of mind, change of heart, constant rather, not little, constantly changing your mind, constantly being unstable. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. Some men's they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifested beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now, the reason I'm talking about that verse for just a second, it goes back to what was said about this man. See, in verse 4, unstable with water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. You see, years ago, Reuben committed a horrible, despicable, immoral act. And he thought he got away with it. But his dad knew about it all the time. And you can hide your character traits if you work real hard at it. Kind of, sort of, iffy for a while. But eventually, it's going to come out. It's going to be known. And so don't think that we can just live any way we want as long as we're good at covering our base, as long as we are discreet. You're going to be found out. And so you don't want to have this unstable attitude where today I can resist this temptation. Today I can resist this temptation. Tomorrow I'm chasing after it, and I'm doing it. The day after I'm resisting, but the next day I'm going to chase after it again because I really want to do this. And where you are just like water, just all over the place. I can't believe there's a guy pastoring a Baptist church, so-called Baptist church, and the guy had been, he was I talked to him and said, well, you know, I've been a Mormon, I've been a Catholic, I've been a Jehovah's Witness. I guess I'm a Baptist now.
Oh, my gosh.
No, you're not. You can call yourself that, but you're not. And now, I know he's not a Baptist, and I know the way he lives his life, he's not a Baptist, okay?
Amen.
This bouncing from belief to belief to belief to belief to belief is a character trait of being unstable and immature. This is Reuben. Because he was immature, when he felt like he wanted to do something with his mother-in-law, I guess it'd be, and he did that. Because it wasn't character that guided his actions. It was his own feelings, his own desire to fulfill his own desires. It was his desires that led him. It was his feelings that led him. And because of that, he was unstable as water. And so we can see him committing a horrible sin. And his dad, you know, say, hey, look, you know, you're the firstborn. It should be, really, we should be looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will set in Jerusalem, who will rule and reign from Reuben's throne in Jerusalem. But we don't. Because of this. Now, I know it was David, but David was in you know, he's not the direct descendant of Reuben. Reuben could have been the one, but because of his immaturity and being led of the flesh and his own desires, he had to forfeit, and he forfeited a lot. Well, some men in look at verse 5 and 7, we'll go on, and I'm not going to get through these guys, so we'll just go as far as we can. Verse 5 and verse 7. My father made me swear, saying, wrong chapter. 49, chapter 49, and verse number 5. Now we're going to talk about Simeon. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So these two guys, Reuben, Reuben's first, then come Simeon and Levi. Tell me, when you think about these two men, what instance do you think about? Their sister Dinah had premarital sex with a prince of the land, and they connived and schemed to get the city set up so when they could come in, and they slew all the males in the town. They killed everybody because they were mad. I guess if you were playing tiddlywinks with them as a young person, you'd want to let them win. Bad tempers. You know, God tells you not to associate with people who have bad tempers. Why? Because it'll rub off on you. But you also, it's so easy to become the attention of a person's anger if you deal with angry people. Being angry is not, you know, I've had people boast and tell me, oh, I tell everybody what's on my mind. And I think, well, that's a short list. But they are proud in the fact that they'll let you have it. They'll just let it all hang out. I dated myself there, didn't I? Just let it all hang out. We're just going to let you. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about by that old saying, because you're too young, okay? And here's what we got is people who will just they'll just tell you everything they want right now. It doesn't matter because they are going to express themselves. Well, that's pride to begin with, but anger is something that will get you in messes and get you in problems and get you in troubles. I had a guy who used to show up to work every Monday morning. He had a bruise or a black eye. And you know, and he came to me one day, and you know, he was a drunk, and he said, "You know, I don't understand it. Every weekend I go to the bar, somebody wants to fight with me." Well, yeah, don't go to the bar, number one. And no Baptist would do that, amen.
Amen.
Oh, we got one Baptist here. No Baptist would go to the bar, right?
Amen.
There you go. But he went to the bar, and always there's always somebody just looking for him. Where's that guy that wants to fight? No, maybe the problem was with him.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Don't you think?
Uh-huh.
I mean, how many have been in a fist fight in the last month? And not talking about your spouse. We don't do that. In the last month and that 2 months, last year, 2 years, it's really easy to avoid fights. I know sometimes you get forced into one. But how many of you get into a fight every weekend? Now, if you did, don't you think the problem might be, and with different people?
Yeah.
Don't you think the problem might have something to do with your bad attitude?
Yes, sir.
And anger will get you into trouble.
Well,
I've seen people quit their jobs because they got mad.
Whoa.
Oh, man, it made them feel good. They told the boss off. But then they go home and they have to tell their wife, I need to start looking for another job. And in case you've never lost a job, it's rather inconvenient to get fired or to quit.
Yes, so it is.
Because you're not getting another paycheck. You'll get the one coming and the hours for this week, but after that. And then you got to go look for a job. And you know what? They're going to ask you, well, why'd you leave your last job?
Exactly.
I didn't hit my boss. How about that? That's not good enough that you didn't hit him. You got mad and you quit your job. Now find a job that pays equal or better than where you're at. You might get lucky, but I wouldn't count on it. So anger will cause problems in your life far removed from the instance. You get mad at a person over here. You get mad at your boss. You get mad at a coworker. I've seen coworkers punch each other's out. That's not looking real good on your resume either. And you'll be looking for a job anyways. Because you'll get fired if you start punching out your coworkers.
That's right.
I mean, unless you're a professional boxer and your job is to beat up the other guy, you're going to get fired.
Yes, sir.
And so you get angry at this instance, and you just let it all out, and you voice your anger, and maybe even get a little bit physical. It's going to cause problems way over here, even years later. You're going to be having difficulties. How many people ended up in jail because they got mad when a police officer pulled them over?
Wow.
I'm not saying police officers are saints.
Nope.
We know there's corrupt ones out there. But there's an awful lot of honest ones out there too.
Amen. There is.
But I've seen people get... I knew a guy one time. He was all the time having issues with the police.
Ooh.
All the time. And funny, I lived right across the street from him. I never had issues with police. Can't figure out why. I'm glad I didn't buy that piece of property he lived on.
Amen.
It wasn't the property, it was him. And you will get into all kinds of problems if you have a bad attitude and if anger is your character trait. These guys were known by their anger. Even a child is known by his doing. Everybody knew not to mess with Simeon and Levi because they were bad actors. They were angry, angry people. You know what? That made their life harder than it had to be. And anger will make your life harder than it has to be. You will have troubles. You will have situations develop because of the consequences of your anger. And your life is going to be a whole lot harder. So I hope you don't come back next week and we have to start calling you Levi. You know. These men, they literally were murderers. The people they killed didn't deserve it. They had nothing to do with it. They didn't even know what was going on. They were wrong. You know what? in the Word of God, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abideth in him. Prisons are full of murderers. They are. A lot of people commit murder are in prisons. But the problem is, our churches also are full of murderers. Jesus said, if you look and lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Adulterers don't all end up down at Motel 6. Look and lust. Murderers don't put people in the necessarily put people in the grave. Jesus said, again, thou hast heard of old, thou shalt not kill. But I send you, whosoever is angry at his brother without a cause, already committed murder in his
heart.
That's right, heart. And I'm probably looking at some murderers today. Probably looking at some murderers today. I know you are. Did you hear that last one?
Yes, we got it.
I know you are. I've been angry when I shouldn't have been angry with people because they inconvenienced me. And because of my immaturity, I just wanted to rip their head off with a smile. You know, there's no such thing as punching them in Christian love, okay?
Right.
Tough love.
Tough love.
Not that kind of tough love. It's just good old plain anger, good old plain sin. Anger will make your life much, much harder than it has to be. Now, they weren't all this way, okay? They weren't all bad. Joseph, well, when he was growing up, they did put him in a den, in a pit, and they talked about killing him, you know? And they did sell him into slavery. But Judah, and here we go, 49, chapter 49, Genesis 49, verses 8. Begin to verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, and thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couches as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, who's that talking about? Who's he talking about? The scepter shall not. Who bears the scepter? A king. Jesus. Thank you, sir. The scepter shall not, instead of being from Reuben, not departing from Reuben, it's not departing from Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass is called unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grape. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. A lot of that is old language and Jewish idioms that hard to understand, but basically what it boils down to is Judah had his own bout of immorality, didn't he? This time, instead of his mother-in-law, his daughter-in-law. His son died, and his son's wife should have been given his next son, and when he was mature, and he didn't do it. And so, she tricked him. I mean, she went out and played the whore. She dressed up like a harlot, and by the way, how's that saying go? If you don't have anything for sale, don't advertise. And she advertised what she was by the way she dressed. I'll just throw that in there. Can God tell you how to dress, folks? They can. So when you get dressed for work, maybe you ought to ask God, is this an appropriate outfit? And is your God big enough to speak to your heart and let you know if you ought to be dressing that way or not? I'm not telling you how to dress, ladies, but I'm saying this lady enticed a man simply by the way she was wearing her clothes. Was he wrong? Yeah, he was wrong.
Yep.
But was she wrong?
Yeah.
Yes, she was wrong. So anyway, you got to be kidding me. Well, we got through a couple of them. Yeah, we just barely got through the introduction. He was immoral. He was a liar. He committed adultery. But years later, we can find that he had a change of heart. And when he is being, comes up before his dad, do you notice how so far? Reuben, his past is brought up. Simeon, Levi, his past, their past are brought up. Judah, past isn't brought up because he had a repentant heart. And you know what? There's a good illustration of what God does with us. He buries our sins in the deepest part of the sea. He casts them behind his back as far as the east is removed from the west. In other words, he forgets them when we are saved. But in order to be saved, you have to have a repentant heart. Okay? Judah had a repentant heart. And so he became a changed man. And so now, his past is forgotten. His past is not highlighted. His past is not brought up in public. He is not disgraced in public. And instead, his father praises him. He was known because of his change of heart. The apostle Paul was a blasphemer, a murderer, a hater of Christ, and a hater of Christians. But he got saved. And all that changed. And Paul is now known as probably the greatest missionary who has ever lived. Certainly, nobody would question his love for God, his love for Christ. Change of heart. Change of heart. And out of all the men so far we've talked about, I would rather be known as a man who has a checkered past, but who was repentant and has a change of heart, and now we're moving forward for doing the best I can to serve God. May not be very good, but I'm doing the best I can. But how do you want to be known? As a person who lives in their past sin, they never got over their anger, so they're still known for their anger. They never got get over the fact of being immature, so their whole life is they're known for their immaturity. Or would you rather be known as a man who, yes, he's human, yes, he messed up, but praise God, he's forgiven. And he is trying with God's help to do better. And so he's known as a man who had a change of heart. Oh, I'm not wearing a watch. Again. Anybody have the time? Oh, I got 2 minutes left? Oh, I got 2 minutes left. What can I do with 2 minutes? Judah, we're talking about the man, not the tribe. Judah had, I'm glad I didn't hear that. Judah, he certainly had his share of mistakes. He certainly had his share of failures. But his father was able to praise him for what, at least from reading, seems to have been a total change of heart. And there's a lot of Christians who really, if the truth be known, still, they never wholly committed themselves unto God. You see, they repented of their sin, they were saved, they were born again, but they're still like the people of Israel that are looking back to Egypt. Oh, I remember the good days in Egypt. Were there any good days for Israel in Egypt?
No.
No, not really.
No, not really.
But, oh, man, they remembered those onions and the garlic. Now, there's something wrong with you if your two favorite foods are onions and garlic, okay? Now, I love onions. I love garlic, okay? But I'm not about to go back into slavery just so I can eat onions and garlic, okay? But see, they never had a true change of heart, total commitment unto God. They're glad they're saved, amen? And a lot of Christians that are glad they're saved, but they refuse to let God direct their lives. They refuse to let God tell them how to live their life. And they're dead sure not going to listen to a man stand up there and read something from a book that says that it's shame for a man to have long hair. Now, we don't have that problem these days like we used to have. But man, it was a real problem in our churches in the 70s and the 80s. Men wearing their hair like girls. And you couldn't even read a Bible verse to them because they would get upset about it. Coming back to the immaturity. But does God have a right to tell you how to wear your hair? Does he have a right to tell you how to dress? Does he have a right to tell you how to what to talk about? Does he have a right to tell you where to go to church? Does he have a right to tell you anything? Yes. But are you willing to listen? And that's all I'm just asking you a question. I'm not asking you to believe like I believe. I'm not asking you to live like I live. I'm simply asking you, would you allow God to tell you how to live your life? It's easy to say yes sitting here. Okay, now when you go home, will you let him before you walk out the door for Monday morning, go to work? Back up before you get dressed. Hey, is this outfit really modest? Is this okay, Lord? I'm not telling you it is or isn't.
That's right.
I'm just asking you, will you at least pray about it? Sunday, we're going to write a check to the church. Lord, is this what you want me to write? Now, we know the tithe right off the top, okay, but will you let him talk to you about more than the tithe? Tonight, the missionary's here, will you let God talk to you about your mission giving? That's all I'm asking. A total change of heart where you're going to live for God now, 100%. But the only way you can do that is to read this book and to pray and get directions from God. Simple. Are you known for your change of heart? Are you known? How are you known? Because you are known. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this time, for this hour. We pray, God, Lord, help you use this simple lesson to help us become more like Christ. Father, I want to thank you for the treats we're about to receive and for those who provided them. We ask you to bless the treats and bless the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. And we are dismissed. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.